This week on The Local Take, we are on a mission to combat vaccine hesitancy in our community. I reached out to Dr. Jane Morgan, the Executive Director of the COVID Task Force for the Piedmont Hospital Group in the state of Georgia, to come and share some insight with us on this special issue. Dr. Morgan, welcome back to The Local Take.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I want to jump right in. Are the vaccines safe? Is the COVID-19 vaccine safe?
Yeah, absolutely. These vaccines are safe. And don't forget, at this point, they've been given to millions of people over several months. In addition to that, we have collected tons of data through our VSafe app and through the VAERS reporting mechanism, and have just a treasure trove of information on these vaccines. And so these vaccines are safe. We knew they were safe from their clinical trials. Don't forget, they had to pass all safety requirements of the FDA in order to even receive emergency use authorization. Safety was not cut. There were no shortcuts at all with regard to safety.
Now, my understanding is that the mRNA concept was something that scientists have known about for decades. There was a hesitancy around the technology only because there was no money to advance it. Is that the case? The technology is sound.
Right. The technology is sound, and it's certainly been around scientific laboratories since the 1970s. We've looked at it, you know, in a variety of different ways. One of the reasons that it has not been implemented in tons of medical interventions is because messenger RNA denatures quickly, meaning it dissolves or it disappears from the body. That property of messenger RNA makes it difficult to develop any type of formulation because it disappears before you can actually use it. When we were able to figure out how to keep it around long enough such that it would deliver this code that we have for our vaccine, it also became the primary reason that there are not concerns about long-term side effects. The reason is because of the major property of messenger RNA. It disappears. So we don't anticipate that there can be side effects from something that's no longer in your body. It disappears incredibly quickly, completely dissolves, and leaves your body. And so we're not concerned about long-term side effects, and it's one of the reasons that it's taken us a while to figure out how to develop messenger RNA for vaccines, but we certainly will see more and more and more of this coming forward, including flu vaccines, cancer therapies. Messenger RNA is here to stay.
Now, according to the CDC, over 309 million people in the USA have received the vaccine. About 5,000 have died after receiving it. They haven't yet said that those 5,000, that the reason was the vaccine, but they counted them anyway. That comes up to 0.0017%. So 0.0017% of people have had a fatal reaction. Is this a reason not to get vaccinated when we know that over 600,000 people have actually died from the disease?
So one thing we know is that the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the virus that causes the disease of COVID-19, has the potential to be lethal. And we want to be very cognizant of that fact. In fact, with this Delta variant increasingly dominating the U.S. landscape, and I think as of today, it officially became the dominant strain in the U.S., and we know it's more contagious, we know it's more transmissible, probably causes more severe disease. It is going to be the biggest threat, the biggest danger to unvaccinated people. This variant has arisen so quickly. At the beginning of June, just 1 month ago, it comprised 10% of our cases. And as of today, it's comprising more than 50%, 51%. So it's rapidly spreading. Those pockets of our country that are unvaccinated are going to be at greatest risk and have the greatest threat. This is in no way a comparison. It doesn't compare at all to some of the side effects, I think, that you mentioned at the beginning with regard to the vaccine. When we talk about death after the vaccine, those deaths could be attributed to a number of things. The vaccine may have just been something that occurred at the time. Don't forget, many people are already quite sick. They have all types of medical conditions, and people die of a number of reasons. The vaccine may have just been on board at the time, and so therefore we have to count it as a vaccine, but it may have had actually nothing to do with the vaccine. We call that adjudication. All of those cases will need to be adjudicated. But your point is well taken. Even if we compare the numbers, there is simply no comparison with regard to the preservation of life of these vaccines against this SARS-CoV-2 virus and the risk of the vaccine itself.
Now, you mentioned the Delta variant and the reasons why it is such a real challenge. But what we also know about this disease is that it continues to mutate. And, you know, I was hearing about a new variant out of Peru, the Lambda variant. So viruses are doing what they're supposed to do. It's trying to stay alive and it's continuing to mutate. Why is that so important for us to, you know, understand? And why is that so important to get the vaccine?
You know, this virus is quite a formidable foe. And it's one of the things that scientists have been trying to sound the alarm regarding for this entire pandemic. Viruses continue to change. They continue to adapt. They continue to try to survive, the same as humans. We are a key part of the life cycle of this virus. Without human beings as a host, this virus cannot survive. If we continue to allow ourselves to be hosts, meaning that we are not following public health measures, we don't have our nose and mouth covered with a face mask, we are not keeping our hands clean, we're not practicing social distancing, we're not being immunized, then this virus, not only does it continue to invade our bodies, but each time it does, not only do you run the risk of becoming sick, not only do you run the risk of infecting others, but you also put the rest of the population at risk because you've now provided another opportunity for that virus to learn and mutate in your body. And those mutations can come out and continue to be smarter, more fit. And eventually what we have to be concerned about when we talk about this Lambda variant that's coming out of Peru is we are concerned that we will end up with a variant that can evade the immunization status of the rest of us. And then we all start over at square one again, where we have to have new vaccinations that are formulated against all of the mutations that we have allowed to develop based on our behavior. We allowed these mutations to develop since those clinical trials closed. The Lambda variant out of Peru really has been there for several months. It has become the dominant strain of South America. It certainly is responsible for most of the deaths there in South America. We see it now in the UK. So far, we have not seen that variant here in the United States. We do not know, at least I haven't seen any information on how it will compare to the Delta variant. But here's a message. The message is the Delta variant, the Lambda variant, are not the issue because they will just be the latest mutations to develop, not the last. If we don't get serious about reaching herd immunity, developing an immunization status and getting these vaccines, the Delta and Lambda variants not only will be in our rearview mirror, the reason they're in our rearview mirror is because so many other mutations have now developed since then. The Delta and Lambda will just be the latest in a long line of mutations. So that's where we are at risk.
Now, is there any reason for a relatively healthy person not to get vaccinated? If you're pregnant, should you get vaccinated? If you're thinking about getting pregnant, should you get vaccinated? Because that's one of the myths, is that this might cause people to be sterile, not to be able to have children. It will impact the fertility.
Right. So I do a series called the Stairwell Chronicles. Stairwell Chronicles, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube. And I do 60-second videos that answer questions on COVID vaccines in 60 seconds or less. The entire 60 seconds or less, the entire catalog is available. Anybody wants to follow me, Dr. Dr. Jane, J-A-Y-N-E, Morgan, M-O-R-G-A-N. I bring that up because I've specifically done a Stairwell Chronicle on fertility in both women and men. For women, we have this V-Safe app. And whenever you receive your immunization, you're asked to register with the V-Safe app, V as in Victor, Safe, S-A-F-E. And you can put in any side effect that you want into that app, anything that you think you're experiencing because of the vaccine. We now have had almost 130,000 women who are either pregnant or became pregnant since receiving the vaccine to register with that V-Safe app. That is such a huge number that it is greater than all of the trial participants of Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson combined. This number of pregnant women is larger. So we are able not only to follow these women and have information, we also noted in the first 30,000 of these women who registered with the V-Safe app, when we analyzed their data, any incidence of intrauterine growth retardation, low birth weight, preeclampsia, eclampsia, miscarriage, all of those incidences were less in the women who received immunizations than they were actually in the general population. Imagine that. So the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the Association of Maternal and Fetal Medicine, and the Society of Reproductive Medicine all came out and strongly recommended that all pregnant women and all women desiring pregnancy receive this vaccine. The other reason these societies came out and strongly made these statements is that it's clear if you are pregnant and you contract COVID-19, certainly with these increasingly evasive mutations, not only do you run the risk of becoming very ill, you really run the risk of negatively impacting your baby. And that risk is not worth it when we have vaccines that have proven to be safe to protect you and your baby.
Now, one of the other reasons, and I did not think I was that stressed out about COVID-19, but I know after I got my vaccination, it felt like a weight had been lifted. You know, all of a sudden, I knew I wasn't going to die if someone sneezed on me the wrong way. And I try to share that with, you know, friends and colleagues that I come in touch with who have the hesitancy. What do you try to share with people to get them to move beyond that fear, that hesitancy to, you know, kind of do the right thing?
Right. I think everybody, when I talk with people, it's really just one-on-one conversations, hand-to-hand combat. Everybody has a different thought in their head. Some people, you know, my mother had a reaction. Everybody says, I'm just like my mother, so I know I'm going to have it, so I'm not going to do it. Or I don't even understand what messenger RNA is. Isn't it going to impact my DNA? And I might have, you know, a two-headed baby. Or, you know, everybody has something. I'm afraid of needles. Or I don't believe that this pandemic is real. Pandemic's not real. The news is just making it up, and the hospitals are just making up numbers. You know, so I've heard all kinds of things. And so I think the key is to listen, to let people express themselves such that you really can get an idea of what it is that is concerning them, and really not so much work to change their mind, but work to provide some information to counter what they may be learning as misinformation down one of these social media rabbit holes that they may be in, and try to help bring them out of the darkness of that social media rabbit hole into a light where, hey, here's science information. I'm not saying get the vaccine or not get the vaccine, but I'm just saying here's information for you to think about that has no political leaning, that has no ulterior motive. This is just the data, and you can make your own decision. And I think, you know, that is a way to really address people and meet people where they are. It's not one size fits all. And some people have concerns for a variety of reasons. Social media drives a ton of misinformation and craziness, quite frankly, with regard to science. And so people really need, if you're interested in information, you really need to follow someone that's going to give you a scientific voice, a scientific perspective with no leaning one way or another. That's where you get your information. Come out of the social media rabbit hole where everybody is kind of spinning in the same direction and see if you can have some real information to share and come out of the misinformation. And oftentimes that's just person by person by person. It's slow going.
Now, do you think we'll need booster vaccines before the winter?
So the question about booster vaccines is an interesting one, because what I suspect could happen if we continue sort of this lackadaisical behavior that we have with regard to protecting ourselves and getting immunized, is that as more and more and more mutations develop, and certainly mutations that are fitter, what we call a fitness, it may be that we will not need boosters, but we will actually need new immunizations. The vaccine companies will have to go back and develop completely new formulations against all of the mutations that have developed since their clinical trials closed. That's not a booster shot. That's a new vaccine shot.
Wow. I hope that is not the case, because if we can't get folks to get vaccinated the first time around, I can't imagine what would happen trying to get them vaccinated the second time around.
Well, you know, each time that I think that we are kind of getting maybe close to the hump, then, you know, we see these other pockets of resistance. And, you know, I hope that America is just not setting herself up to learn a lesson the hard way. And this Delta variant and other variants that are coming, the reason we call them variants and not mutations is that a variant is comprised of multiple mutations. So we've moved from the stage of mutations developed to variants. This is a term that you guys may not, it may not be registering with you that the terminology has changed. We are now dealing with variants. Variants comprise multiple mutations in one new variant. And so I hope that America is not setting herself up to learn a really, really tough lesson as we face this formidable foe. And so I am going to continue to recommend that people get vaccinated. If you are unvaccinated, you are at risk, not only of this Delta variant, the Lambda variant, the Delta Plus, but anything else coming forward, you are at risk and you are putting others at risk. And so I think that's where we are. And I hope that we don't continue to learn this lesson.
Now, you mentioned your Stairwell Chronicles, and I have directed people to the CDC. Can you recommend other places that folks might go to get that scientific information that's available?
Sure. The Department of Public Health. The Department of Public Health right now has an entire informational out called Ask the Experts. And you can Google that and access that information as well. But I think all of those are excellent avenues. So we talk about the Stairwell Chronicles on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, at Dr. Jane Morgan. We talk about the CDC. We talk about the Department of Public Health. And then the other place to get accurate information is your local hospital and your doctor's office. They should be able to provide accurate, up-to-date information to you as well.
And as long as the vaccines are being offered and being offered free, that is our first line of defense. And we want to encourage folks out there to get vaccinated. Dr. Morgan, I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk about COVID-19 hesitancy. I appreciate it every time you come on. You give us great answers that anyone should be able to understand. So thanks again for taking the time to speak with us this morning.
No, thank you, Kiplin. My pleasure. Anytime. And if you're out there, get vaccinated.
This is Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take, and we've been talking to Dr. Jane Morgan, the Executive Director of the COVID Task Force for the Piedmont Hospital Group in Georgia. And I hope you follow her directions and go get vaccinated.